Well, good morning. And some of you look like you've eaten too much. We had a great breakfast this morning, and I think we need to give everybody that made it possible a big round of applause. Something we're going to try to do on a quarterly basis, so work your diet just so that when that day comes, that's your day off and you can truly enjoy it. I'm going to do things a little bit different this morning than I usually do. And the reason I'm doing that is because I'm getting old. And what that means is that I have a tendency to forget things from time to time. And the last two Sundays, I was supposed to bring an individual into membership. But I forgot. And last Sunday, I was ready. I warned him ahead of time. And then when I got to Sunday school class, I said, oh, no. So, Ken Peck, come on up. I put this thing right on my Bible so I would make sure I would do this right off the bat. So Ken's been with us for a little while. And come on right up here. They got to see you. He likes the attention. And so I was pretty embarrassed last Sunday. So I told him I was going to do it right off the bat this morning. So, Ken, have you experienced the birth as set forth in John 3:16 and publicly confessed Jesus Christ as personal Savior?
I have.
And you have read and are heartily in agreement with the statement of faith of Central Chapel?
I am.
And you'll endeavor by the grace of God to live by the Church Covenant Amendment agreement set forth in the Constitution?
I will.
Amen. Well, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity to, you don't go anywhere right now. And give you an opportunity to greet each other, and some of you might want to come up and welcome Ken and apologize for your pastor being the absent-minded, whatever he is. So, let's pray. Father, we want to thank you just for your goodness and your grace and for allowing us to live in this great country. Today, or this weekend, we celebrate and remember why our country is different. Our country was established with a foundation, with guidelines, with core principles that has made us different than all the world. And yet we see things changing rapidly today, and it's easy for us to stand back and criticize and throw rocks and complain. But sometimes we forget that this country is made up by citizens. We are the ones that make the difference. We don't look to government to make the decisions, but we, the citizens, are supposed to be doing that. And I would ask that you would help us, those of us that love this country and agree with the founding principles in which this country was founded on, that we would be light in the midst of all the cloudiness, that we would have a positive note to speak in all the negativity, and that with all that's happening, that we might have the ability to be the salt that's needed, to bring a little sting, and yet to bring great flavor in such a way that people would begin to desire to know and to have what we have. For it's not that we have anything in and of ourselves, but it is Christ. And we believe that those of our founding fathers, even though they were not all Christians, there was a respect and an awe for you and for your word. Help us to shine that even today. And we pray that you would watch over this service, that you would give us guidance and direction, be with Pastor Tim as he ministers, that he would speak that which would encourage us, challenge us, and help us to live out our lives for your honor and for your glory. Thank you for each one that is here, and for those that were able to be with us, that you'd watch over them as well, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So get up and shake hands with a few people and come up here and tell Ken, welcome to Central.
You know, our lives are nothing without Christ and his gospel. The writer of this next song wants people to know that just the words of a song God can use for his glory. So whether you're writing a song, making a phone call to someone, giving of your time, your money, your abilities, or praying for others, listen to God's leading in your life and glorify Him in everything you do. We hope that you can say, Jesus is my life. Please stand and join us as we sing. As you're building your life on Christ, we need to take everything that God has given us and invest it for His glory.
Jesus.
Michael Banner, page 576. For our country and our freedom. The kids can be dismissed to chapel at this time, and we're going to continue on with page 573, God of Our Fathers.
Oh, sure.
Our special music this morning is brought by a mother and daughter, Stephanie and Adrian.
Amen. It's always good when mother-daughter, father-son, or parent-child ministers to us in that way. And that was just really good. And our country needs the breath of God to bring life to the dry bones that we see. Well, this morning is a special morning. We have Pastor Tim with us from the Rescue Mission. And as Bill mentioned, there is a love offering box as you go out. That's another way for you to support the Rescue Mission. And he's made a trip to the Ukraine and back, and he's got all 10 fingers and 10 toes. So he's going to come up and minister to us, but let me pray. Father, thank you again for this morning. Speak to us through our brother here. Thank you for the way that you have put your hand upon him here as he serves at the rescue mission and has a heart for the world. Use him, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
I want to thank you all for having me out here this morning. Thank you, Pastor Keith, for giving this opportunity. I'm Pastor Tim, Executive Director of the Martinsburg Union Rescue Mission. Two quick things I want to just share with you real quick. Two things that are going on right now at the Martinsburg Union Rescue Mission. We are going to be breaking and remodeling the 604 project. That's the 604 West King Street, the house there. That we're going to start this month. That will turn, and we'll start remodeling that, and it will take us 6 months to do. We originally projected $800,000 to take that and turn it into six apartments for homeless families. And it's the only project ministry that's out there for homeless families in Berkeley, Jefferson, and Morgan County. And we're going to be, that's going to kick off this month. Pitsnoggle is going to come in and do the asbestos this month. The permits are already sent to the city. We hired McGinney's contractors to do all that for us. We have $650,000 in the bank. We're stepping out on faith. We had to raise the money a little bit more because of inflation. We had to raise it $200,000 more. It's going to cost $800,000 and some change to cover the construction, and then the rest of the money is going to be to staff it for 2 years and to take care of the rest of the stuff. We're excited about that, and if you want to give to that, that's something you can give. You just make your checks out to the Martinsburg Union Rescue Mission and put the 604 project on that. You can go online and do that also. Also, this morning, I want to talk to you real quick. I'm going to talk to you about two things, two important things I think are very important. One is I want to talk to you about what's the definition of faithfulness. If I asked you to give me one word that would define in your mind faithfulness, faithfulness, what would you say? One word. One word. Come on, you can speak up. I'm not going to bite you. One word. What would you say if I said faithfulness? One word. Trust. Okay? What? Truth. Okay? Huh? I'm sorry. Believe. Okay? Dedication. Loyalty. All these are excellent answers. Okay, all these are excellent answers. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the definition of faithfulness, and then I'm going to talk to you about stewardship, which is vital as Christians, because everything we own, everything we have is not ours. It really is not. I don't know about you, Keith, but I've done many funerals, and especially since I've been here in Martinsburg, the funeral home. I'm having a presidential moment here. Brown's Funeral Home. There you go. Brown's Funeral Home. What has happened in Brown's Funeral Home since I've been here, they use me as the fill-in guy for a lot of families that don't have pastors, that don't have churches to do funerals. I do a lot of funerals. I know many of you think West Virginia is the Bible Belt. I'm here to tell you it's not. Okay? I do a lot of funerals for a lot of families that have no church affiliation whatsoever. And I've never yet done a funeral where the person that's dying has a moving truck and all kinds of stuff around them. I did the funeral for the mayor of Martinsburg, Harriet Johnson. Wonderful lady. Got to know her. What a privilege it was. Big supporter of the rescue mission. I think she showed up my second day here in Martinsburg. She was a council person at the time. When she died, she laid in a box just like we're going to lay in a box. Stewardship is vital. Talk to you about faithfulness. We're going to go to the scriptures here in Matthew real quick. Matthew, I'm going to do a little speed reading. Matthew chapter 25 in your Bible, starting at verse 14. It said, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." Now, before I go any further, this man called his own servants. That means these are his own people who knew him. He knew them. They were together as one. They weren't strangers. They weren't people passing by. They were his servant. It goes on and says, verse 15, "And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Verse 16, "Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you the ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, The Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he that had came received the 1 talent and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not straw, and I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that one in return. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." I want you to look in the context of the scriptures here. The definition of faithfulness here is what? Multiplication. I'm going to say it again. The definition of the scriptures of faithfulness here is what? Multiplication. All those answers you had were great, but not the definition of faithfulness here. When that master went away and he gave those servants all those different talents, he was expecting them to do what with those talents? To multiply them. Remember God in the beginning, Adam and Eve? Adam, Eve, even though Adam threw Eve under the bus in the beginning. You guys remember that? Hammer? Adam and Eve, the whole purpose God gave them each other, to multiply. We live in a very confused society today, because one minute they're telling us there's no definition of a woman, and the next minute they're telling us now the woman has rights. Well, it's always been from the beginning, from a biblical point of view, there's been man and there's been woman. Always been. And in fact, God created them to fit together. How about that? I'll just say that. God created them to fit together to do what? Ha! And in fact, he even said what? He blessed them. Go ye therefore and multiply. Faithfulness is multiplication. This church here, you have what you have because of other people's multiplication. Whether it be talent, whether it be finances. I know your pastor is very evangelistic. He's all about winning people to Christ. And the churches, and I speak in a lot of churches, folks. I speak in a lot of churches. My first year here, I spoke in 68 different churches. As of today, I now have spoken in 82 different churches in this area, in the Eastern Panhandle area. And I can tell you, out of the 82 different churches, now many of them I spoke over and over again, but out of the 82 different churches of all denominations, 3/4 of those churches are on the verge of one generation from closing. They're not multiplying. Because, see, their definition of faithfulness, their definition of faithfulness is not multiplication. Many of our churches have turned into social clubs or clubs, and they're closing. Let me share with you, it's very important. He said to the one that didn't multiply his talent, he took it from him, gave it to another. Here at the Martinsburg Union Rescue Mission, one of the things that we do, we teach 5 principles. Our number one purpose is to go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Our main purpose of the Martinsburg Union Rescue Mission has been the same main purpose since 1956 when it was founded. Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples for Jesus Christ. When the Lord laid on my heart to do something when the war started in Ukraine with Russia, the Lord laid on my heart to do something in that city. I've traveled to, 36, 38 different countries between being in the military and being in the ministry. And when this happened, the Lord laid on my heart, because I have missionary friends in the northern part of Ukraine, and I have missionary friends in the southern part of Ukraine, Romania and Poland. And it laid on my heart, and I went to church one Sunday at my church, and my pastor got up and took an offering for Ukraine. He totally threw me off. I didn't have anything to give that day. I went home. I was convicted. I said, Lord, I've been praying about doing something. The Lord said, well, you can go. I said, well, Lord, let's talk about that. I can go. I'm 60 years old. I'm overweight. I'm out of breath. I can go where? I can go raise money and send somebody. No, he goes, you can go. So I prayed about it for a week, and my wife came to me and said, there's something troubling you. My wife always knows when something's troubling me. She said, there's something troubling you. And I said, well, you ain't going to like what I'm about to tell you. She goes, oh, no, you're going to go to Ukraine. My wife knew. She goes, I don't want to hear it. Just go. You better come back. So I prayed about it, and I called Mark Caldwell, who's the president of the board. I called Harry, who's the vice president of the board. And I was hoping. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to call these guys, and I'm going to say, look, Lord's laid on my heart to go to Ukraine. Is that okay if I take time off? I'll use all my vacation time, and I'll go over there. And I called Mark, and I called both Harry and Mark, and they got together, and they got together, and they said, I knew they were going to push back and say, well, you can't go. You got to stay here. You got a job here. I met with them. They said, well, when do you want to go, and how much you need, and how can we help you? I said, whoa, that's too easy. I was hoping you'd push back a little. I said, well, let me go talk to my pastor and see if their church, and same thing. I went, he said, well, how much you need? I had 3 weeks to put it together because the missionary friends wanted me there right away. I flew out the Saturday before our Easter. Flew out. I went over and met in the United States. We flew down to Florida. I flew down to Florida, and I hooked up with four other folks going over. They were all Russian Americans. One was a 20-year-old young lady named Zanetta, and then Victor, who was a Baptist minister, and then two other ladies. We flew over to Poland together. They all spoke Russian and Ukrainian and English, and I only spoke English. And Zanetta was my interpreter. And when we went over there in the Poland, we went into Warsaw, and we visited all the refugee areas over there, anywhere from 9,000. One center had 9,000. One center had 5,000, 3,000, and then 1,000. We visited all these people. And then we went into the northern part of Ukraine. I'm going to tell you, I got there, and we were working with a Baptist association, a big association. And when I got there, they're saying, man, we're glad you're finally here, Pastor Tim. We've been waiting for you. I looked at him, I said, you didn't even know me two days ago. What do you mean you've been waiting for me? Well, you're an American. Okay. See, because going to the border, they really wanted us to be there, the Americans. And they were glad to be there. And then when they found out I was a veteran, when I went up to I got to know a lot of the border guards, the Polish and the Ukrainians, and they would say to me, well, are you going to stay and fight with us, right? You're a veteran. I said, yeah, I'm a little out of shape veteran. And then there was guys older than me with bigger guts than I did come walking out. Well, I'm here. Had their weapon in their hand. I said, well, I didn't ask my wife if I could do that. I need to stay. I need to go back home. But hey, let me share something with you. They gave me a sack and they said, we need you to carry this across the border. Well, I'm not stupid. What's in the sack? Well, it's money. Because, see, when you're in a war zone, money is everything. Because when you go into Ukraine, the gas stations were shut down. Because at that time, the Russian army was in the north. Remember, they were bombing Kiev. People call it Kiev. They were bombing that. They were bombing Bucha. You heard of Bucha? Bucha was the town where they went in and they scorched the earth. They raped the women, raped the children, massacred them, left them on the side of the road. Well, you're going to go in, Pastor Tim, and you're going to take this with you. I have my black backpack. I opened it up. I said, oh, wow, that's a lot of money. I'm not going to tell you how much, but let me just tell you this much. You could buy several houses with it, cash money. We took it in, took it to a Baptist pastor church in Bucha, because we got there after the massacre. As we got in there, we're going down in there. Bodies are on the side of the road. And the driver stopped. He said, Pastor, could you get out and talk? And there's some family standing there crying. We went over. The smell was bad. The things you don't see on TV and they don't report, the smell, flies, the dysentery. It was cold. It was in the 40s, upper 30s. But you get out. We got out. You could see where they shot him in the back of the head, or they shot him in the face. The bodies were deteriorating to where it wasn't really good. And can you pray with these families? Can you do this? Can you do that? We went into a church where the pastor took his family when the war started, took his wife and children, and took them to Poland, took them to the border, and sent them off on a train. He went back to his church and opened up his basement so people that were escaping the Russian occupation, because the Russians came into Bucha and occupied it, that's where the people went. And his was the only church that they did not go in and march anybody out and execute them in the street. Many churches, the Russian soldiers walked in, walked the people out on the street, and executed them. If they were women, they did other things. If they were children that were females, they did other things. I don't know if you remember, if you had a chance, I called in live from Ukraine when I was there, because the pastor, when we got there, he came out to greet me and he said, "Pastor, I want you to meet somebody." And this lady came up out of the basement and she came out front and she had no fingers, just thumbs. No fingers, just thumbs. And I don't know if you remember, I was on WEPM, Marsha and Jordan. I called in live because I said if I had a chance, I'd call in live and make a report back to the community because this community was so, so giving. I raised quite a bit of money, and that money was multiplied. In Poland, it was multiplied $3, their $3 to our dollar, and then in Romania, it was $4 or $5 to our dollars. So we were able to multiply every dollar that I took over. It was anywhere from 3 to 4 times more. That's called multiplication. So we were able to take more money in, more supplies. We bought medical supplies. We bought food. We bought all kinds of stuff. So he brings this lady out, and she has thumbs, and she's speaking in Russian to me because she thought I understood Russian. And my interpreter standing there, a young lady, and she was getting herself together because she almost threw up a couple times, a couple other things. She wasn't ever in that kind of situation before. And she's getting it together, and she starts interpreting it. And I said, "Wait a minute, let me make this phone call." And I made the phone call. Got on the radio live, and I said, "Now go ahead, interpret." And I don't know if you remember, but she was actually interpreting what the woman was telling her. And she said, "Pastor, when the Russians came in, the troops came in, they took her, her daughter, her son, and her husband out into the streets. They raped her daughter multiple times." The daughter was maybe 9 or 11 years old, something around there. Shot her son in the back of the head. He was 13 or 14. Made her husband and her watch the entire time. Raped her also. And then killed her husband. And then cut off her fingers, not her thumbs, her fingers, and said to her, "We're going to keep you alive so you can go tell all your friends that if you don't surrender to us, this is what we'll do to you." And the pastor of the church, when the Russian occupation left, he came out to see what was left and what he could do and what he can help with. And he went about and saw this woman with a knife, with no fingers and a knife, trying to kill herself. He ran over to her, got her, talked to her, brought her back in, got her in, ministered to her. I'll make a long story short. We were able to get her out and get her into a hospital in Europe. I can't tell you where, but to get into a hospital in Europe to where she'd get medical care. We were able to multiply a lot of funds to help a lot of people. We prayed with a lot of people. We listened to their stories. We did many, many things. We came back to the refugee centers, ministered to a lot of people, multiplied. And let me share this with you. It's Christians, not the government, and I'm not anti-government. Okay, I served in the military. I support our government. I'm not anti-government, but I'm going to tell you right now, there ain't no politician in the world is going to save those people from the hell that they're going through. It's Christians from all over the world, and I mean all over the world. I worked with Christians from all, you name it, all the European countries, Africa Christians were there, China Christians were there, all kinds of Christians. We came together, and that's the Christians are the ones going into the places where war is taking place, massacres are taking place. They're going in, and they're taking in the gospel. They're taking in their presence. They're taking in supplies. It's the Christians that are making the difference. We took people out into a safe and brought them back. Then I flew from Poland down to Romania. And then from Romania, I went into the southern part, into Odessa, into Nikolai. Let me back up. Martinsburg Union Rescue Mission, the word rescue. I remember Mark and Harry saying to me, "Well, Tim, our main purpose is what? Matthew 28, 19 through 20. If we talk about rescuing the perishing in the United States, why are we not rescuing the perishing in the world?" It says, "Go into all nations, not just one." And many of you are missionaries or been on missionary trips, and you know when you step outside this country, the difference between real freedom and communism and all the other garbage that's out there. You know how great this country is, and trust me, every border guard that I went to, I was wearing my West Virginia sweatshirt. I went to Walmart and got one of those big W, yellow ones, V, yellow one, blue sweat, and I wore it every day. In fact, the guy I was driving with finally said, "Pastor Tim, you got to wash that thing. It's starting to kick, man. It's, you know, it's walking in here itself." And I'll never forget, because when we'd go up to the guards and stuff, they would kick me out. They say, "Virginia, come on, America, come on." And finally, I had to sit down with the one guard. We're talking, he's laughing, he's hugging me with his AK, and I'm like, "You know what, slide that over that way. I don't want that thing shooting me in the belly." And he slides it over, and he's hugging me. "In Virginia?" I said, "No, West Virginia." He goes, "Well, what's the difference, Virginia, West Virginia?" I said, "No, I said, let me share something to you." Now, he's Polish, he's in the military. He's probably maybe in his 50s. I said, "You're old enough to remember East Germany, West Germany?" I said, "Who were the good guys?" Yeah, so you think about that for a while. He goes, "You're right, West Virginia." And from that point on, it was West Virginia. So if you're from Virginia, get over it. West Virginia. That's right. We had fun. But let me share this with you. The rescue mission. We have a discipleship class Monday through Friday. We're discipling the men that come in our doors every day. It's made a huge difference. Huge difference. Our sobriety rate is 98 point some percent. We just did resident testing. When I first came there, they didn't do any testing, and the board wanted testing, so we put testing in place. After 3 months I was there, we tested everybody. 70% of the men that were there failed. Drugs or alcohol or both. Now we do random testing. I mean random testing, but everybody gets tested. Yesterday we completed our random testing. In 2 days, one person failed. Huge difference. Huge difference. We have more people there that have a longer sobriety than ever before in their lives because we're discipling them. We're being good stewards with them. We don't get government money, government funding. We get every dime comes from people like you, churches like you. So we have to be good with everything that is given to us. We have to multiply it. The men that don't have jobs outside the mission, they work at the mission. 6 days a week, have one day off. So when they go get a job in the real world, and you saw that sign up there, we had 52 men so far this year get full-time jobs outside the mission. A lot of times we get guys that are real good and work for us real well, and they get stolen from us, and somebody comes along and hires them full-time. Now I got to train somebody all over again. We're constantly pouring in, discipling, stewardship. We get eggs. We have to be good stewards with eggs. And Bill, I'm sorry, because I always get the message when they're out. I'll say to them, "Can you give me a week or two when you get down to a certain amount?" It's always, "Hey, Pastor Tim, we got no eggs." "You have no eggs?" "No, we have no eggs." "So what happened 2 weeks ago?" "Well, we had eggs." Discipleship, training. We've created an atmosphere that 98.9% of people there are sober. We're a sober environment. We're pouring into them. It's hard. 7-year-old Jack, he kept going to get his Social Security. He only gets $400 a month Social Security, and he kept rejecting it and rejecting it and rejecting it and rejecting it. So I had Kevin Henry go to his bank, and his bank, he went in with Jack, sat down at the bank office, and Kevin said to the bank lady, "This is Jack. Here's his bank card. It's saying he has no money, has no money." She looks up his account and says, "Well, according to the account here and Social Security, he's dead." He was sitting right next to Kevin. Kevin turned to Jack and said, "Well, you're dead." It took us weeks to get all that back together again so Jack could get his Social Security. See, Jack is not very well educated, so he had no idea how to do that. Not that he didn't want to, he had no idea. Social Security deemed him dead. I said, "I wish they'd do that for me, then I can get rid of all my bills." Jack doesn't have a bill in his life. So how's it always happen to the good guys? No bills and he's dead. I got bills and I'm not dead. Yeah, that's what my wife says. You can't die yet. Let me share this with you. Here in the scriptures, that I'm real important, and I'm gonna bring it home here. Folks, here is something that I pray as a missionary. We can't live without churches. Churches are it. As all the problems churches have, the church is what God gave to us to spread the gospel, to disciple people. The Martinsburg Union Rescue Mission is not a church. We're not a church. We're made up of churches. It's the church that has to do the multiplication. Support your pastor. Support your leadership. Get out there and multiply. Get out there and win people to Jesus Christ. Spend money on your young people, because that's a fact. If you don't, when they turn 18, they will leave the church. Pour into them. Take them on mission trips. Take them overseas. My daughters, I took them overseas when I went on mission trips. Send my wife overseas on mission trips with our daughters. And that opened up a whole nother world to them. Get the young people involved in missions. Do it now, not when it's too late. Multiplication is a fact of Christianity. Folks, there was 12 disciples. 12 disciples. That's all Jesus chose. Out of those 12, one quit. Yes, he brought on another one. But it was 12, and many years later, it's all of us. Let me ask you, who are you multiplying to take your spot? All the positions now that we have open at the Rescue Mission or come open, I try to hire from within the guys that are there. Somebody said to me, well, that's going to be tough. I said, yeah, but that's what we're there for. That's what this church is here for. You're here to multiply and pour into these young people. Some of you have one foot in the grave and one foot out. What are you waiting on? Pour into these young people. Whatever it costs, pour into them. How many have raised children? You know what it costs to raise kids. My wife and I raised 4 daughters. I remember coming home in my garage. I had more shoes in my garage than the shoe store. And I had 2 pairs of shoes, my dress shoes and my pair of sneakers. That's all I had. And every time there was some kind of event or whatever came up, my wife would say, well, they need new shoes. I'd open up the garage door and say, well, what are these? Well, those shoes are for this and for this and for this. I'm like, are you kidding me? Pour into the folks. I hear it all the time from people in the church. Well, you know, the young people ain't like us. No, they're not like you. You didn't have all the stuff that they have now that they have to face, deal with, Facebook and all that other stuff. Pour into these kids. Pour into them. Take them to mission trips. Take them places. Pour into them. Just like your chickens, you have to feed them every day, right? Sometimes a couple times a day, right? Why? Because you're feeding into them so they what? Produce. Many of us, our kids aren't producing. You know why? Because we're not pouring into them. You only have yourself to blame. Stop blaming the government. Stop blaming the public schools. Pour into them. Take the time and pour into them. Yes, it's hard. It's disappointing. It's frustrating. It could be even lonely at times. And yes, you will be the bad guy. Came in this morning and they said, well, what should we title you? Pastor Tim, whatever. I said, Pastor Tim's fine. Well, how do you say your last name? I said, well, most people just call me Pastor Tim because my last name's hard to pronounce, Garino. And I said, Pastor Tim is probably the most kindest thing I get called. I get called a lot of names. Racist, white supremacist. I didn't know I had all kinds of power. I'm not a Christian. Because a guy comes in drunk, throwing up, and I say, you got to sit in this chair, sit up. Well, I can't lay down. No, you can't lay down because you could choke on your vomit and die. Well, you ain't no Christian. Okay, lay down. Please die. See? Parents, you know what that's like. Your kid looks at you and goes, well, you don't love me. I said that once to my dad growing up. It's the last time I said it to him. Multiplication, folks, let me just end it with this. We're coming back. We go into Nikolai. Nikolai is 10 miles from the Russian occupation. Nikolai is the city where the president just went there, the president of Ukraine, and handed out a bunch of medals. We got there. It was 22 days without water and no electricity. The video, where's the video of the army? You got that video of the army? This video of the army is in Nikolai. We took a tractor trail into these guys because they had barely any food whatsoever. This is the standing army for the Ukrainians. They are outnumbered, outmatched, and outgunned. And trust me, let me tell you something. What the media is telling you here is not reality over there. I'm not a predictor of who's going to win the war or stuff, but man, I'm going to tell you what I saw. It's not looking good. There's a lady in this video further on. I got another video. She was a teacher. She's 20-some years old. We got there. She was a teacher before the war, and then they made her an officer and put her in charge of a lot of people because she was a teacher and had a degree. She came over to me. She goes, I had 1 week of weapon training. She goes, I don't know what I'm doing. She said, I'm scared to death. Will you pray for me, Pastor? I'm scared to death. That's the kind of training they have. I'm a veteran. That's not the kind of training I received. To this day, I know how to use certain weapons because of my military training. And she stood there shaking with her AK-47 in her hand. I have my youngest daughter is her age, who's in the Army Reserve. Four o'clock that morning, we got into Nikolai, and the rockets started coming in. They started bombing us. We got down in the basement. The guys came out of the trucks. They're bombing and bombing, and then 2 hours later, it stops. Then we come up and having breakfast, and we're sitting there praying. We went out in the streets looking for the damages and stuff, and boom, just like that, rockets start coming in again. They're dropping all around us. I'd say from about here to that corner over there, I was standing with this one guy from Germany. He's a little older than I am, a little bit heavier. He said, rocket hit. Boom, the rocket hit. The concussion came over. I went down like this. My ears popped. He just dropped over. I thought something hit him. He just, boom, went down. I went to my hands and knees like this. My head was shaking. My ears popped. I knew from the concussion of the rocket when it hit. And I looked over at him, made sure he was okay. He had concussion. He's never been in a war zone like that before, never had bombs go off and knock you down. I picked him up. We go running in. The worst part is hearing after the rocket stopped, the screaming and yelling. You're looking for people. What it was, a one-day trip in, was 3 days because we couldn't move our tractor trailers out. The night we're coming out, we're going into Odessa 2 hours later. We're going into Odessa. I called my friend who does intel for somebody. I said, hey, what is your intel on Odessa? He said, you don't need to be going to Odessa. They're about to rocket it. And within, I said, well, he goes, where are you at? I said, well, we're about 5-10 minutes outside of Odessa. As soon as I said that, the air sirens went off. You've heard them. You grew up as a kid around here. They had noontime, the sirens would go off, you know, the air sirens and stuff like that. Tell you it's noontime, stuff like that. I grew up in Allentown, Pennsylvania. It's when we knew it was noon, the sirens would go off. So all of a sudden the sirens go off and you could see them because we're along the coast. You could see the rockets coming in. It's 10 o'clock at night. You could see them coming in. Boom, 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 boom. They're hitting everywhere. They're blowing things up. We go running. We go running in and they have checkpoints. We go down in, and it's like World War II where they have the trenches on the side of the road. We go down, and they're telling us to run over. We go down into this checkpoint. We go down into the trenches, and I look, and guess who's in the trenches? That young lady that lieutenant down in the trenches, looks up and says, "Pastor Tim," and all these other young kids with their weapons, because they couldn't do anything because there's no air cover. And they're all down, "Pray for us, please, Pastor Tim, pray for us for protection." And you can hear the rockets coming in. Multiplication, shared the gospel with thousands, prayed with thousands, fed thousands, multiplied the money that I took from here over to there, and brought people out of the war zone into safety. Multiplication, multiplication, multiplication. What are you doing to be good stewards for Jesus Christ? We own nothing. We're stewards of everything he gives us. What are you doing with this church? What are you doing with your family? What are you doing with your life? How are you pouring into somebody? Multiplication. Faithfulness is multiplication. What are you doing today to multiply so there will be a tomorrow for those that are not here today? Pray with me. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for this church and the efforts that they do evangelistically. I know they're mission-minded. God, thank you for their mission-minded. Thank you for those that go to the mission field. I pray they would take the young people with them. I thank you so much for the pastor of the church here and his wife and family. I thank you for how much they pour into people night and day. God, continue to bless this church to multiply in numbers that beyond their imagination. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Round one. He's still going. We're not gonna have the closing song. We're going to have to get into Sunday school, and Tim's going to get going, and hopefully he'll be done before we have our evening service at our place tonight. So if you weren't aware of that, we're going to invite you at our house tonight, 5 to 8. You can stay as long as you want, really, and we're gathering there again tonight. But we're not going to sing the closing song, but I think we've all been challenged and been reminded we've got a job to do, and now's a good time to do it. So we have a Sunday school class for all ages. Tim's going to be in the old sanctuary. Anybody can join us over there for that. So let me pray as well. Father, we've been reminded of a dark world in which we live and the need to make an impact. Help us to be willing to be used of you to impact the world today. And help us to make an impact that the world is a better place tomorrow because of what we've done today. Speak to us through each of the Sunday school teachers, and then for those of us gathering again tonight, use that to be a blessing as well. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.